Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel, Christ calls Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John, four fishermen who were casting out their nets and mending their nets. Hearing Christ, they leave their boats and their nets, and they follow him, for he is to make them fishers of men. And afterward, the Lord went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And this connection between Christ's calling of the apostles and his teaching and his preaching and his healing is not incidental. For as Christ says later in the Gospel of St. Matthew, he is with us, not just at the end of the apostolic era, but to the end of the age, to the end of this world. Christ is continually present with us in and through his saints. Just as he taught and healed through his disciples and apostles in the first century, so he continues to teach and heal through his holy people throughout the ages, down to the present day. Last week, the Orthodox Church commemorated all saints known and unknown. And this Sunday, 2 weeks after Pentecost, the entire Orthodox world commemorates its local Orthodox saints. The Russian Church commemorates Russian saints, the Greek Church commemorates Greek saints, and so on. And today we celebrate all the saints of North America, known and unknown. Over 200 years ago, St. Herman of Alaska and St. Innocent, equal to the apostles, came to Alaska all the way from Russia and baptized thousands of native Alaskans and translated the scriptures and the liturgy into their own language. Later in the 19th century, St. Alexis Toth reunited tens of thousands of immigrants to their ancestral Orthodox faith. St. John Prokhorov, Raphael of Brooklyn, and Sebastian Napovich all tirelessly traveled around the country, established parishes, and ministered to the faithful. St. Tikhon, who would later become Patriarch of Moscow during the Bolshevik Revolution, founded the first monastery in America. St. Tikhon's monastery in Pennsylvania, where the liturgy has been served daily there for now more than a century. After ministering in China, St. John Maximovich became bishop in San Francisco and helped countless persecuted Orthodox Christians find asylum here in this country. His incorrupt relics in San Francisco show us the visible echo of the incarnation, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But it's not just patriarchs and priests. Almost exactly 1 year ago, in a tiny village called Kweethluk in the southwest corner of Alaska, a liturgy was served by several bishops, including our own Metropolitan Tikhon. There was a procession through this tiny village with the relics of America's newest glorified saint, and her relics were venerated by the thousands. That saint, St. Olga, wonder worker and matushka of all Alaska, was a priest's wife who raised 13 children, worked as a midwife, a traditional healer, and an English teacher. She reposed in 1979 from cancer. And by worldly standards, she lived an irrelevant life in an Alaskan village smaller than most Amazon distribution centers. But she was humble. That's it. But that's everything. A woman lived her whole life in the same small village almost a decade ago in the middle of the Alaskan tundra, delivering babies, raising children, cooking dinners, praying, and having conversations. She wasn't a priest. She didn't live in a monastery. She didn't write any books. She had no theological training. She juggled 13 children. And as it says so perfectly in her hagiography, she lived in obscurity, yet now her name is spoken in cathedrals, in chapels, in villages, in homes, and whispered prayers and joyous hymns. She did not study theology, yet she embodied the theology of the incarnation, that God has taken flesh and dwells among us, and that holiness is not reserved for the few, but shines in every person who lives in Christ. And almost half of the officially glorified American saints were martyrs. Some were faithful clergy, like the priest Alexander Hodovitsky, who served in the American mission for a time, and then returned to his home country in the old world in Russia to joyfully lay down his life for Christ. And a century before them, there were St. Juvenali and St. Peter the Alleyne, and they remain the only two, so far, who have been martyred on American soil. St. Juvenali, the proto-martyr of America, traveled to Alaska from his native Siberia, and with the blessing of St. Herman, preached the gospel and baptized thousands of natives. Eventually, he was killed by some of the natives. Those who killed him and their descendants told St. Innocent that when they shot arrows at St. Juvenali, many of them were confused because it looked like he was swatting flies while they were shooting him. But St. Innocent knew the first martyr of America wasn't swatting flies. He was blessing his executioners. A decade later, a teenage Aleut boy named Peter traveled down to the San Francisco Bay Area for work. Eventually, he and several other native Alaskan Orthodox Christians were arrested by the Spanish missionaries and told to convert. They all refused. Peter was singled out and brutally tortured. Before he was killed and martyred, the now glorified St. Peter the Aleut bravely told his captors, "I am an Orthodox Christian and I will not betray my faith." This is why so many modern elders and saints like St. Paisios, Elder Ephrem, and Father Seraphim Rose would say, "America will one day be holy. For the blood of those martyrs, Juvenali and Peter, runs through America's soil. Every Orthodox parish in this country, including this one, is connected to that blood like a vast system of arteries, connecting each and every one of us to them and to the body, to the beating heart of the risen Lord. For America will one day be holy. I will make you fishers of men," Christ tells Peter and his companions today. And after Pentecost, they were sent out into a world much like ours, a decadent, dying pagan empire dominated by endless war, infanticide, huge disparities in wealth, and a ruling elite practicing indescribable degeneracy. Those fishermen and their successors confronted that world, not through revolution or politics, but by showing that world a path, the path of Christ and a different kind of life. How did they, as St. Paul tells us today in his epistle to the Hebrews, subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, and quench the violence of fire? They served the liturgy, they prayed and fasted for their enemies, they joyously sang hymns as they were persecuted, they fed the hungry, they built orphanages, and they repented. They lived, as St. Peter says, as strangers in the world whose very existence was a threat to the cult of Caesar. And yet, despite being deeply concerned with justice, mercy, and human dignity, they and all the saints in the saints of America today have never produced a single political program. For Orthodoxy knows that when the church becomes an ideology, it ceases to be the church. It becomes one more voice competing for dominance, one more system demanding allegiance. But the gospel does not compete, it confronts, not by shouting, but by standing there, quietly exposing every false god in the world by refusing to bow before it. Christ does not promise a world without suffering. He shows us a way of being human that can endure suffering, not only without becoming monstrous, but by becoming holy. Ideology tells us who to blame. Orthodoxy tells us who to become. Ideology demands that the world be purified. Orthodoxy demands that we be purified. Ideology offers certainty. Orthodoxy offers truth. And truth, as Christ reveals it, as the saints have lived it, is not always comfortable, but it is always free. And our task today, brothers and sisters, is the same as it was for those Christians under pagan Rome, those Christians under the Turkish occupation, for those under communist terror, and for those of us today in a culture of division, despair, and confusion, a culture driven by the madness of acquisition, profit, and power. Our task is, like the saints whom we commemorate today, known and unknown, to stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that have been given to us, usually in blood. It is to pray every day for those who can't, for those who won't. It is to fast more than we want to confess our sins and commune of the Holy Eucharist, to teach our kids how to pray and make the sign of the cross every day. It's to forgive one another, to cling to Christ and his church, and to rejoice in the risen Lord, and ripple by ripple, liturgy after liturgy, through the prayers of the American saints, known and unknown, America will one day be holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.